Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the conclusion of our two-part series titled, David, I Am Not. Our special guest today is Pastor James Chesser of Charleston, West Virginia. He's a great friend to our church, and he's been to Israel with me at least twice, I think, and has also been to Washington, D.C. with me on trips to do grassroots lobbying to strengthen the U.S.-Israel relationship. Recently, we had him to come and preach for a youth event hosted by our church, open to all of the youth of a large section of northern West Virginia. He preached a powerful message titled, David, I Am Not. We have time, I think, to have some great music for you from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Fearless, the name of this track is Revelation Song.
Worthy
And now, as promised, here is Pastor James Chesser preaching David, I Am Not.
How many times have we been the glaring figure of flesh that didn't mind the things of God, that got into the way? I'm trying to preach some humility and some reality into our lives. We want to be David, but it's quite possible sometimes we're the jealous brothers. Sometimes we're Saul, and yet sometimes it's Goliath who we're playing that part. And let me tell you something bold tonight. Sometimes for the will of God to transpire, they would literally have to go against us. Man, what a familiar reality this can be. It's possible that on our best days, I am more like Goliath than I am like David. Thick-headed, stubborn, complete opposition. And the best thing for me would be a small projectile rock right between my eyes. Blaming others when I should be looking in the mirror. We are surveying this day, young people, real life examples of who we are in one of the most popular stories of the Old Testament. It's a real life true story of good versus evil. And a lot of lives are on the line in this conflict. So after surveying possible characters that could give us the right perspective of seeing ourselves in this story, I want to direct us to who we are. I want to direct us to where we should identify ourselves. And no, we're still not David. If you hope I've changed my mind, I have not. Somebody here still waiting out. I hope he says I'm David. There'll be a bumper sticker that you can find that'll tell you that, but I'm not going to do that tonight. Well, Pastor Chesser, we've looked at all of these different things and ideas. Where am I? Who am I? I found a good spot for us. And it may not be perfect, but I think it's where we are. It's where I identify. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and 10. The Bible says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The dismayed and greatly afraid. Now that makes sense. If we got to characterize ourselves here, I believe this is the best place. We are, or better stated, we were the dismayed and greatly afraid. Why is that? Because our true Goliath is no match for us or our idol. You see, yet another great error among us in misinterpreting Goliath. This has been interpreted in so many ways. It's almost been completely universal, which is dangerous. To get a real picture of the entire narrative, you really have to know why Saul and the people of Israel were dismayed and afraid. Let me tell you why they were dismayed and afraid. Because they should be. Because they should be. I'm going to say that again. Because they should be. Why? Because there was nothing they could do within themselves to fight Goliath. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many times? I'm gonna drive this home, and I'm gonna be done real quickly here tonight. How many times have we heard, "Be like David. You can make it. Just get some smooth stones and throw them at your situation. Just throw it at it. You woke up coughing? Come on, David, get some rocks and throw it at that sickness. Cough drop rocks." I want to repeat something that I heard recently, and I want to preach it to you tonight. Goliath, are you ready? Is not a situation. If Goliath can be anything and everything, he is nothing. Let me say this to you. Goliath is not our average struggles, in which we just need a little motivation speech to get us the victory.
All right.
Yeah. I kindly show you another picture tonight. I've got picture two. I think y'all like this one. Take a moment. Soak that in. That monkey thinks himself David. And let me say to you tonight, kindly, anybody here that wants to assign themselves as David, get a good look at yourself in the picture here. let me tell you, our generation is overdosing on motivational speakers. We are overdosing on inspiration. We have been primed, pumped, and taught self-image, self-confidence, build yourself up, be better, be David. You've got what it takes. Do it and forget Scripture. I'm not here to confuse anybody. I'm telling you, I'm trying to preach something that is right and is true. I'm trying to let the Word of God biblically calibrate us. Let me say this to you tonight. Goliath is not a job situation that needs your courage. Goliath is not a marriage issue that demands our courage. By the way, you'll never solve marital conflicts throwing stones with a sling. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Goliath is not a sickness. Goliath is not a headache. He's not a habit. He's not a shortcoming. He's not a haunting insufficiency. Well, Pastor Chester, if he's not any of those things, what is he? Goliath is not a situation. He's the situation. What are you preaching? Man, I feel the Holy Ghost and woo. Goliath is the image of the ultimate oppressor. He is the enemy of our soul, of which there is no answer within ourselves. And it's very dangerous for anybody, especially a young person, to think that we are the answer or that we have the answer, because we don't. If you believe it, say it with me. David, I am not. One more time. David, I am not. So let's look at this. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and 3. And I'm getting close to being done. And the Philistines stood on the mountain one side, Israel on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid, and let me say, rightfully so. Goliath is introduced to us to intimidate, to engender fear and dismay. The Philistines sent the giant off the mountain and right in the middle of the valley. He's 6 cubits and a span, which equates to 9 feet 6 inches in height. From head to toe, he is covered with 130 pounds of armor. And in his hand, he holds a spear with a 16-pound iron head. Goliath is a monster. His biceps are bigger than the average man's torso. In all of literature, there are few figures more impressive than Goliath. Israel's to choose one man to go after him. And if that man is able to kill Goliath, the Philistines will become Israel's servants. But if Goliath wins, Israel will again become slaves to a foreign nation. Is there any man in Israel who can beat Goliath? And I know tonight that we think in our narcissistic Western culture, yeah, on that day, I'd have did it. Sure. Can't make it to prayer meeting. But you're David. You're David. You'll be there. You'd be there that day. Let me just clear it up. Let me just really clear it up. Oh, all right. Anybody here in their mind thinking they're brave enough to go? Okay, let me say, if you would have went, it's possible maybe that you would have went. I doubt it. But say you went, you would have not won the battle. Let me tell you what would have happened to you. You'd have tripped while running. You'd have dropped your sling. Your rocks would have went everywhere. And Goliath would have stepped on your heroic effort. David, you're not. David, I am not. It's impossible for you to win that battle. One clear scripture that provides the great context for tonight. 1 Samuel 17 and 47 says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." This battle had an appointed intervention. The Bible said Goliath had a helmet of bronze and a coat of mail. You see, the word for bronze in Hebrew sounds like the word for serpent. Earlier, God made the connection deeply and forever in the minds of his people when he told Moses to create the bronze serpent. When they entered into the promised land, they kept the bronze serpent as a reminder of the power of God over the serpent. And then the Bible says there's a coat of mail. Think about it. To use mail in Samuel, all uses of this word in the book of Moses refers to scales like a fish. And so also to those of serpents. So standing before the armies of Yahweh, we have Goliath. And he said it moments ago as I preached it. He mocks for 40 days, the same amount of time that the Messiah would spend in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. And here this bronze serpent defies the armies of Yahweh. And just as he attacked Eve and Adam with lies and threats, David is now introduced in the battle. In the previous chapter, Samuel somewhat secretly has anointed him as king, and now he comes to offer battle to the serpent. Goliath declared that he would feed David's body to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. This battle was not merely about Philistines and Israelites. It was about rulers of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The serpent or Yahweh. And now comes David, not with man's armor or weapon, but with a powerful declaration. He says, "This day Yahweh will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." That should ring a bell for us. Indeed, David proceeds to bruise Goliath on the head with a stone, according to Scripture. But the serpent warrior fell on his face and ate dust just like a serpent should. And then your Bible said David removed the Goliath's head with his enemy's own sword. 1 Samuel 17 and 50 says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood up upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." David, somebody say David. David used an instrument designed to finish him off. David used a sword that was designed to kill the likes of David and all Israel. But David used an instrument that was to destroy him, to finish off the enemy. Can I remind you that the cross was to finish off the Savior? The cross was to rid him of the earth. But it created the opposite effect. I said it created the opposite effect. It would be the greatest victory for all humanity. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Ephesians 2:15 says, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, so that he might reconcile both God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. Somebody ought to praise him right now. Somebody ought to give him praise. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let me tell you, you don't have to be David in the story. We already have a champion. His name is Jesus, and he conquered. He won. He gave us the victory. Come to release some young people from some pressure you shouldn't have. God didn't call you to be a hero. He wants to be your hero. He wants to be your hero that you look to and you see that the battle's already been won. Victory has already been won. You must follow him. Lift up your hands. We need in this room not more of this worldly self-confidence. I'm sorry, Mr. Counselor, I'm sorry. We don't need self-confidence. We need God confidence. I'm telling you right now, we're messing up a generation by telling them you can do it. We're messing up a generation by telling them it lies within them. Rise or fall, it's up to you. No, let me tell you, the battle's already been won. Goliath's missing his head. We have victory through Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that we need to have ultimate victory, is to have the one who slayed him, the one who bare the cost, the one who took the cross that was built to end him, but give life to us. Look at this. I want you to look at verse 52. And this is how I want us to move tonight. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. That's what happens when you know your leader has lost. You flee. But look what happens. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Can I tell you something, young generation? They did not pursue out of self-confidence. They pursued out of God confidence, because God brought a victory that day. The greatest motivation we can have leaving this place is to know our enemies have already been slain. Christ has won the battle. Come on in tight. Quit putting pressure on yourself to be David. You're not David. You're a part of a church that's victorious because Christ is at the head. You're victorious because of a God who said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Slain enemy gave power. The slain enemy gave me power through the blood to go and pursue to have victory. Pre-cross and route to the cross, the disciples scattered, young people. They split. Those beloved disciples, they were nowhere to be found. You know why? Because they were dismayed. They were fearful. They thought their champion had died. Fear and cowardice is lack of faith in God. And the root of it is usually in self-sufficiency. Fear is frantic, courage is calm. It's calm because it's based on the assurance of God. When Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended, the Bible said they went from the pursued to the pursuer. They held their ground and they did not relent even unto death. David's moment points to the moment that settled victory for the church. The truth is, you can leave here knowing that somebody fought the ultimate battle and freed souls, and you're one of them. And that gives faith. That gives courage. Not because of my pedigree, not because of my background, not because of my ability, not because of my gifts, but because of Jesus Christ and the enemy that he's slain for you and me. Lift up your hands and lift up your voices, would you? I'm going to read something for you before we come and pray, and we're about to come to these altars and pray. I feel such a drawing power for us to come and release some things and believe God. But look at Hebrews 13:5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Talk about confidence. That's where we get our confidence. So that we may boldly say. So that we may boldly say. It's a confession, and it's not weakness, it's strength. So that we may boldly say, and would you say it with me tonight? The Lord is my helper. Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. That's God confidence. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The free church of Jesus Christ must be able to boldly declare victory in the right way. I did not win. I did not get victory. He gave me victory. And I can say it with assurance. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I want us to invade this altar tonight, right now. And I want you to proclaim with your lips, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. The Lord is my helper. I've got victory in Jesus, in Christ alone. When I repented of my sins, and they were remitted through baptism, and after receiving the Holy Ghost, I became a child of God. I am forgiven. That's my identity. I am reconciled. That's my identity. I am rescued. That's my identity. Before Christ, I was afraid and I feared and I had all kinds of issues. But because of him, I don't have to fear. My giant has been slain. Victory has already been won. I'm not waiting on Jesus to give me victory. He's already given me victory. I've already won because he won.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.